guys, I'm Fanny. Thank you so much for joining us today for Upper Room Church. If you like today's message, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to comment your favorite takeaways, like it, and share it with a friend. We have even more opportunities to love on those around us during this time. If you would like to partner with us, all you have to do is go to upperroompensacola.com and give a financial donation. You can also text the word GIVE and the amount to the number 84321. Today, Pastor Nathan will continue our study through Psalm 23. I want to invite you to worship with us and allow God to speak to your heart. We love you and we're praying for you.
Hey, Upper Room family. It's so good to see you. I hope you've had a great week. Last Sunday, we spent Easter together and it was an incredible time. And so we are on week 5 of a series we're calling God Psychiatry. We're going verse by verse through Psalm 23. Every week, we've read it together. If you don't have your Bible, that's cool. We'll throw it up on the screen. But I just want to start off our time this morning together by reading these verses. So let's jump right here into Psalm 23, verse 1. David writes, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What an incredible chapter. So I want to circle back to verse 5. This is going to be our verse for today. I want to kind of give you a little challenge too for next week. So next week is our last week of this series. So I'm going to try to recite it from memory. So I want to give you a little challenge. If you can read this psalm this week, and let's see if we can memorize it and recite it together from memory next week. But verse 5 is our text this morning. And David says, you know, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And so I think the biggest takeaway from Psalm 23, all the verses, everything that we've studied over the last 5 weeks, we've talked about green grass and still waters. We've talked about our souls being restored. We've talked about paths of righteousness. We've talked about valleys. We've talked about God being with us and being our shepherd. I believe the overwhelming thought, the overwhelming theme of this psalm and what David is trying to communicate to me and you is that God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless your life. And I know that's not a new idea. I know that's not a novel term, but I forget about that sometimes. I know I sometimes can live my life and my view of God is maybe not somebody who wants to bless me, but maybe someone who's upset with me. But the more and more I've dove into this psalm and the more that we read it together, it's an overwhelming just confirmation that God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out his goodness and his blessing on your life. A.W. Tozer, he said it like this: "What comes in our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And I got to be honest with you, the first thing that comes in my mind when I think about God is not that he wants to bless me. It's just sometimes it's just very different. But I want you to know, and hopefully by the time that we're through spending this series together, you'll realize that God wants to bless your life in ways that you don't even know, ways that you haven't even thought of, ways that you haven't even imagined. I want to give you a few verses on it. Ephesians 3, verse 20. "God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Deuteronomy 28, verse 2. "All these blessings will come upon you and they're going to overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Numbers 6, verse 24 through 26. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." So what do I mean when I say God wants to bless you? Let me tell you what I don't mean. What I don't mean is that God is this heavenly sugar daddy, right? And you pull a chain, and anytime you want something, he's like this heavenly Santa Claus, and we get everything that we want. What I don't mean is there's this prosperity gospel that we see, you know, it's taught, and we see it a lot in our culture, that God's main job is to bless us and to give us wealth and to give us prosperity. And I don't think that's what the blessing of God means. Mark Batterson, I think he said it the best in his book, Double Blessing. He said, the blessing of God is the solution to your biggest problem, the answer to your boldest prayer, and the fulfillment of your bravest dream. And so if I titled this message, I would title it, I'm Too Blessed to Be Stressed. When I think about the blessings of God in my life, what it does is it focuses in on who God is, and it takes the attention and the focus off of what's going on around me. We're reminded that it's this inner tranquility that brings outer stability. It's this blessing of God that we can walk in every day that brings the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God into our life, and it's not attached to our circumstances. And so if I was going to write this, if I wrote Psalm 23 and I wrote verse 5, I wouldn't write it the way David did. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I would have said, you prepare a table before me in your presence and you kill all my enemies, right? Or you prepare a table before me with my family and my friends, and my enemies are on a whole nother planet or a whole nother universe or galaxy. But David didn't say that. He said, no, I'm going to prepare a table. God is preparing a blessing for you, and your enemy is seated at the table. And so four things I want to give you, four things that we see in this verse that I want to remind you of when you walk in the blessings of God, when you live God's dream for your life, when you live out God's best for your life. The first thing I want to remind you of is don't be surprised when you face opposition. When you walk in the blessing of God for your life, you should expect opposition. I think that's why David said, God is going to bless you. If you can imagine a table full of feast that's full of all the great things that God wants to bless your life with, and seated at the table across is your enemy. Now, I can't imagine doing that. You know, I worked for Pepsi for about a decade, and I tell this story a lot, but Pepsi and Coke kind of got this rivalry going. You know, it's red and blue, it's us against them. And one of the things when I worked at Pepsi I would never do, and it was kind of this unspoken rule, you didn't eat lunch with a Coke rep. You just didn't do it. Like, if you work for Pepsi, you're in your Pepsi uniform. I remember one time there was a picture of one of our employees, Pepsi employee, and he was eating with a Coke employee, and he ended up losing his job over it, because it was like eating lunch with the enemy. You just didn't do it. And when David gives this illustration, what I want you to see, there's a beautiful picture here, that when it comes to God blessing your life, oftentimes He's going to use opposition to do that. Oftentimes, God will use people that you look at as enemies, that are real enemies in your life. God will even use your haters to bless your life. That haters can become elevators, right? They can elevate your life. They can take you to levels in God you would have never been able to get to if they didn't exist. And so when it comes to enemies, you got to know that if you have enemies, if you've got people in your life that like to talk about you, if you got people in your life you had to block on Facebook and social media, and they talk about you to everybody but you, and if you've got some people coming up in your mind right now that you perceive as enemies, I want you to know you're in good company, because Jesus, the Son of God, who was perfect, had enemies. Before he was even born, he had enemies. His whole life, he had people trying to kill him. He would say things. He said this in Luke 6, verse 26. He says, you know what? You should take it as a warning when everybody is speaking well of you. It's like you should know something bad. Something's around the corner if everybody's just singing your praises all the time. He said this in John 15, verse 18. He said, you know what? If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. Jesus dealt with enemies all the time. And I'm finding that anytime God gets ready to really bless your life, There's going to be some enemies that are going to come against you. But I want you to know that obstacles oftentimes are where the opportunities that God has for your life are hidden behind these obstacles. And what David didn't say is that God, you prepared a table before me and you removed all my enemies. What David didn't say is, you blessed my life and you blessed me by making everybody like me and all my enemies lost and I won. That's not what he said. He said, no, I'm gonna bless you right in the presence of your enemies. And I'm finding out a lot of times in life that when we see people as enemies or we see opposition in our life, hidden behind that opposition is an opportunity. Hidden in that obstacle is a blessing. Because opportunities a lot of times are not visual. You can't see them. Opportunities will come in the form of opposition. Opportunities will come in the form of obstacles. Even right now, the economy, it seems like it's turned upside down. I talked to a friend of mine today who's an investor, and he's a really wise guy. He's smart. He's made good moves. And he sees what's happening in our world right now not as an obstacle. He sees it as an opportunity. When everybody's getting out, that's the time to get in. When everybody's getting in, that's the time to get out. And so I want you to know that God can even use opposition to bless your life. That's how much God wants to bless you. And so we see in our verse that David has his table prepared for him in the presence of his enemy. And then he goes on to say, you know what? God, you anoint my head with oil. There's something there that we got to look at together. And I think when it comes to living this life, knowing that sometimes you can't know who's your friend and who's your enemy. Sometimes in life, you're seated at a table. Jesus had to deal with this as well. He had Judas right across from him. He had his 12 disciples, but one of the guys on his team had an agenda. And what David showed us in this verse is that when it comes to walking in the blessings of God for our life, so when it comes to walking in the blessing of God for your life, the anointing is not needed, it's necessary. That's what David is describing to us. He says, God, you anoint my head with oil. And that's kind of a church term, that word anointing. But we see it over and over and over from Genesis to Revelation. God would anoint priests and he would anoint kings. And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus was anointed when he was baptized. A dove came down and God anointed him for his ministry. And that word anointing, it's God's supernatural power on your life to do what you do. It's that when I run out, when Nathan Pooley runs out, when I don't have the ability and I don't have the strength and I don't have the skill set, I rely on the anointing of God to do what I can't do in my own self. And that's what David is saying. He's like, I am so blessed. I'm walking in God's blessing for my life. And he demonstrates it because he knows that God has anointed him. God has anointed you as well. God has anointed you to do what he's called you to do. God has anointed you to live that dream that he's placed inside of your heart. And I want to remind you that it's going to take the anointing. The anointing is not optional. It's necessary. We need God's power. We need God's strength more than we've ever needed it before. And I think there's a few things that can block the anointing of God in our life. One of them is division. That to walk in the anointing of God, it takes being together. It takes being in unity. And when there's division, Jesus would say things like this, a house divided, it can't stand. Division means die. It's basically two visions. And when there's division operating in our life, that's why I think it's so important as a husband and wife that you're together, you're unified. If you serve on a team, you're unified. If you serve in your church, you're unified. That whatever it is that you lead, if you want God's anointing and supernatural power on it, there's got to be unity. Psalm 133 talks about this, that there's an anointing that comes, that when people get together in unity, God commands his blessing in that place. And so division can block the anointing of God. The second thing is this, is just pride. And I think pride, simply put, is when we make a decision in our own self that, I can do this without God's help. I got this. Jesus warned about pride. over and over and over. We see it all through Proverbs that pride comes before fall. And I think that God wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to stay in a place where we depend on Him. And pride can kind of creep in when we get confident in ourselves and we get confident in our giftings. We get confident, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't lessen and take from our dependence on God. Because we know that without God, we can't do anything. But with God, all things are possible. And so some ways to combat that, we see it in James chapter 4, that God opposes the proud, but He exalts the humble. Now, I want you to see this. When David says, you know, God anoints my head with oil, the only way for that to happen is that person that's being anointed has to bow down. And so as that person would bow down, they would be, their head would be anointed with oil. And so if we want to walk in God's blessing for our life, and I know you do, and I know I want to, humility is the pathway that leads to God's blessing. When we humble ourselves, God said, you know what? I'm going to pour a blessing into your life that you don't even have room enough to receive. And so David goes on. He says, I'm at this table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And then the last thing he says in our, the last line in our verse is my cup overflows. Now, what does that mean? I want to give you a little bit of a background on David's culture. So if we lived when David lived, David was a king. David, he threw these big parties at his house. He had a lot of people that worked for him. He was one of the greatest leaders that ever lived. And so we see over and over, David was very exuberant. David danced before God to the point where he danced right out of his clothes. David was a passionate guy. And so I'm sure there were some parties that David threw at his house. And during that culture, it was customary that if you were invited to a party, the host would have people basically just sitting around waiting. And so as your cup would begin to get low, they would come and fill your cup up. And that was a job title. Like if you worked, if you were hosting a party, you had people positioned around to just make sure people didn't run out of drink. And you'd run up there and you'd pour into their cup. And so a way of letting your guests know that it was time for them to leave is you would stop filling up their cup. If somebody didn't come around and refill your cup at the party, you knew, okay, it's time for me to go. Well, the opposite of that is true. That if a host, somebody who was throwing a party, hosting this party, wanted you to stay, wanted you to feel welcomed, not only would they pour into your cup, they would pour so much into your cup that it would just overflow. It was a symbol that not only are you welcomed here, you're wanted here. If you want to pack a bag and stay the night, we've got a room for you. And I want you to know that as walking in God's blessing for your life, you're wanted. God wants you at the table. And that's so important to remember, especially when you're nose to nose with an enemy. Especially when maybe you find yourself right now trying to fit into a table where there's people that don't want you there. An organization that maybe you don't feel welcomed in. A family where you don't feel welcomed in. I want you to know that in God's family and in God's house, you are wanted. And He demonstrates that by an overflowing cup. So much that God fills our life with blessings. Malachi 3 verse 10 says it like this. That God wants to bless you so much. He wants to fill your cup up so much that you don't even have room enough to receive it. I mean, the blessing just keeps coming and it coming and coming and coming and coming. That's how much God wants to bless your life. And so we're talking about cups. David's talking about cups. But the reality is this. When you walk in the blessing of God for your life, you're going to begin to see everything that you do overflow. You're going to begin to see every area of your life overflow. And I'm finding that God is so big and God is so good, we can't contain all that God has for us. Think about that for a second. God wants to bless you so much. God wants to bless you to the point to where when He drops that blessing on your life, you're going to have to give it away. You're going to have to give it to somebody. You're going to, I've heard it said like this, that you're blessed to be a blessing. And that symbolism that David's showing us, that our cup is overflowing, that is a symbol that when God blesses you, He blesses you to the point to where you have to give it away because you can't fit it all. And I want to remind you just a few things that as you're walking in God's blessing, when God begins to fill your cup, just a few things to remember so that you keep walking in that blessing. Number one, when God begins to fill your cup to overflowing, don't look at your neighbor's cup. Don't look at what God's given them. Don't look at what God's pouring into their cup. Don't look at what God's blessing their life with. I've heard it said that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of God's blessing in our life. That when God is blessing you, and He is, one of the ways that we can block that blessing, one of the ways that we can take it for granted is when we start looking around at the table to see what other people have. And so don't look at anybody else's cup. Look at your cup. Know that God has blessed you. The second thing I want to remind you of is this. Maybe you are listening to this and you can't see God's blessing in your life at all. Maybe you're listening to this and you say, you know what, Nathan, my cup is empty. I don't have anything in my cup. I'm at the bottom of the barrel right now. I don't have enough. I don't understand this whole blessing of God because I don't feel blessed right now. I want to challenge you to say it even when you don't see it. You may be looking at an empty cup right now, an empty bank account, an empty room, an empty building that used to be full of people, and now you don't know if it's going to reopen, an empty restaurant. I want to challenge you to say it even when you don't see it. If you say if your cup is empty, thank God that you got a cup. If your house is empty, thank God that you got a house. If your bank account is empty, thank God you had $20 at some point to open that account 10 years ago, right? Speak it. Speak it. It's a declaration. Speak faith over your life. Say, you know what? I may not see it right now, but I have more than enough. My kids are going to have more than enough. My family is going to have more than enough. The company that I lead is going to have more than enough. In an economic crisis, in a world that is just upside down, what does it say about you to be able to speak faith when all we see is fear? I want to challenge you. Say it before you see it. Speak that blessing over your own life. Speak that blessing over your kids. Speak that blessing over your family and watch how your cup begins to overflow. And then here's the last thing, and we're going to pray. I'm sure you've been at a table before and a waiter or waitress is pouring into your cup and it overflows a little bit. And so the first reaction, I know for me, is to grab it and sip it. Like, you know, so that it doesn't spill everywhere. But I want to encourage you with this. I think as we begin to look at our lives, as we begin to practice gratitude, we're going to find that all of our cups are overflowing. That we all have more than we need. We live in the most blessed country in the world. We all have a little bit more than we actually need. And so instead of sipping that cup when it overflows, I want to challenge you to share it. Let generosity be activated in your life. Find somebody at your table that maybe their cup's a little lower and you're overflowing and maybe you can pour a little bit in theirs. Find somebody around you that you can be a blessing to. Because I've found in my life, in order to prevent prosperity from becoming idolatry, you have to activate generosity. If you want God to keep pouring into your life, if you want God to keep overflowing your cup, you have to get into a posture of generosity and know that God has given it to you, not so that you can keep it. He gives it to you so He can get it through you. That He's called us to be funnels. He's called us to be a conduits for His blessing. And the key to walking in God's blessing, because that's what I want for your life, is to know that God's called us to live a life of generosity. God's called us to share. God wants you to have more than you need, so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And so if you want to walk in that blessing, you want to walk in the blessing of God, I want to pray a prayer over you and your family right now. I want to pray a prayer of blessing. And so gather up the family. If you're there in the living room, wherever you are, I'm going to pray this over you. Just receive this blessing. Father, I pray right now, Lord, I just ask that even in this moment, you would open our eyes with gratitude. Help us to see, Lord, that every day is a gift. God, that when it's so easy to focus on what we don't have, so easy to focus on fear and focus on maybe where things are lacking, I just pray even right now in this moment, God, that you're bringing our focus into your goodness. Remind every one of us today, Lord, that you want to bless us. Not only do you want to bless us, you want to bless us in ways that we haven't even thought about or imagined. And so I'm just asking, Lord, I'm praying for unexpected blessings in the lives of everyone listening right now. I pray for an open heaven, Lord. I pray that, God, that you would bless people, God, with health. Bless them, Lord, with just opportunities. God, open doors. Lord, help us to see and know and remember that you're a good Father. You want the absolute best for us. And God, let us walk in your blessing. God, remind us that, you know what? Opposition could be the sign that you're getting ready to bless us. Remind us, Lord, that at that table, even though our enemies might be there, you're seated there with us. God, remind us, Lord, to be grateful for what we have. Remind us, Lord, that every single day is a gift. And so, Lord, I pray even in this moment now that this week would be full of unexpected blessings. That just the phone would ring, that email would come, a letter. God, that you would just rain down blessings and goodness on your people in ways that we've never thought or dreamed or imagined. And we thank you so much, God. We just thank you that you're so good to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today. And if you prayed a prayer for the first time, you put your faith in Christ today, if you want more information on how to get connected with Upper Room Church, I'd love for you to fill out that connect card. If you just click on that link right under this video, we'd love to be able to connect with you, get more resources to you, and just find out ways that we can serve you and your family. We love you so much. I hope that you can join me next week for the last week of our series together here in Psalm 23. I'll see you soon.
Thank you again for joining us online today. I want to encourage you to meditate on Psalm 23 every day this week. Allow God to give you rest and peace. If you would like to give a financial donation to Upper Room Church, text GIVE and the amount to the number 84321. If you would like to connect with one of our team members, text Plug Me In, one word, to the number 97000. We look forward to connecting with you. See you soon.